This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
New York football purposes and NFL football purposes is the more interesting night because you've got what could potentially be the first quarterback and the second quarterback taken in the draft. And right now, as we sit here with many months to go, that's the most likely scenario. Fernando Mendoza being the first quarterback picked, who's playing for Indiana tonight, of course, Heisman Trophy winner, number one team in college football, against Dante Moore and Oregon. And because Dante Moore so far has been firmly second behind Fernando Mendoza, and the Jets have the number two overall pick and obviously have an opening at quarterback, these two guys have been linked, the New York Jets and Dante Moore. So we will see how this shakes out, how the combine, if they throw their pro days, all of that. But the discussion is going to be, and this is why it's so tough for these general managers to get it right when you're rebuilding, it's going to be, is Dante Moore going to want to come out and play for the Jets? I mean, and stuff like that does happen, by the way. I mean, we saw it just this 2 years ago with Caleb Williams, who ended up going to the Bears, but he did not want to go to the Bears. And his dad was trying to get him to go somewhere else. And they wanted to go to Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell. They didn't want to go to the Bears. Now, he ultimately went there, and look what they're doing now. They got Ben Johnson. They won the division. But there is a chance that Dante Moore says, I'd rather stay in school, get a little bit better, make $5 million, come back into the draft next year, and hopefully find a better franchise.
You know, I personally would tell the kid to stay in school. He needs to play more. And especially if Oregon's going to give him some money to stay.
Yeah.
Got to remember that. So the going rate for quarterbacks right now, top-end quarterbacks in college football, is like $4.5 to $5 million a year. So if he goes on and they are able to win the college football championship, or just has a great game tonight, and even though if they lose, I still think he's a kid that I would think that Oregon would want to keep him, and I would think that he would want to stay, assuming that, you know, the money was significant enough for him. Because I still feel like he needs to play. Like, if the Jets bring him here and they play him week one, my head is going to explode.
It's going to be the same thing over and over again. It's going to be Zach Wilson 2.0. The exact same situation. Now, I'm not saying that Dante Moore is going to be Zach Wilson, but as far as the inexperience, bringing a guy in who hasn't played a lot of college football, number two overall pick, missing out on the Heisman Trophy winner and the number one overall pick and all that stuff, it would be very, very similar. And I don't think it's crazy to say that, you know, if Dante Moore doesn't come out and the Jets have all these picks, that it's okay if you don't get your quarterback in this particular draft. It's actually okay. You've got all these picks. You have to build up a team. And I know the Aaron Rodgers thing didn't work out, but Aaron Rodgers wanted to play for the Jets for a couple of reasons. But the main reason was that young team went into Lambeau, Sauce Gardner's rookie year, Garrett Wilson's rookie year. They went into Lambeau and beat them. And they looked great. And the defense looked great. The offensive weapons looked great. And Aaron Rodgers said, man, that's a good young team that just needs a quarterback.
And then he snapped his Achilles.
Right. But the point being is that for the Jets to get that, it's not impossible to convince the rest of the NFL world that you can win. They just did it with Aaron Rodgers. But right now, no one's going to believe you. So you got to hit on these draft picks. You got to build it up. And then it'll become an attractive destination for quarterbacks because it's just not right now.
Well, then the biggest question will be, who will be quarterbacking the Jets next year?
Yeah, and it may be another one of these guys that don't excite you.
It's going to be one of these guys that don't excite you.
Yeah,
it's 100% going to be one of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's Kyler Murray, who is half exciting, you know?
Could it be Mac Jones?
I think Mac.
Yeah,
I still think Mac Jones is going to go to Minnesota. But if J.J. McCarthy didn't come out of that game in Week 18, I would and played well and finished. But
did he take himself out of that game?
Man, it looked like it.
Why?
Because he was hurt.
Again.
It's that same thing, that same hand-wrist thing that he was dealing with. So that to me was almost like a sign. That was like, okay, he had played really well for a couple of weeks. They won some games. But then here he was again and just couldn't stay on the field. So I think I would love to see the Vikings go and get Mac Jones. And I think he would be great. Here he is, like, hey, you see, this is the video right here. Come on, I can't do it. My hand, man. Nine's hand.
The thing about it is that Mac Jones, I think, signed a 2-year deal with San Francisco, so it's going to have to be a trade for him.
Okay. Yeah, but if he goes, if there's someplace he can go and start, I mean, I think that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch would be like, okay, we can get something back for him and let him go. But then again, the Vikings are an NFC team, so maybe they won't. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mac Jones is not going to want to get traded to the Jets, too. I mean, that's another thing. He'd much rather see. But I mean, right now.
He may not have any choice. The Jets have the draft capital to make an offer to San Francisco if they want to go down that road. But again, you know, we're a long way from all of this. You know, and I can't wait to see tonight's game and what these two players look like and kind of give you a glimpse into what, you know, the Raiders and the Jets are thinking as they're watching. I wouldn't be surprised if both teams are, you know, have scouts at the game on the sideline tonight watching all of this unfold.
You know, what you need is if you're the Jets, this is what I think. This is an unlikely situation. But like Dante Moore just goes absolutely haywire in a good way in these last two games, wins a national championship, looks unbelievable, leapfrogs Fernando Mendoza, Mark Davis falls in love with this kid, he's flashy, he's this, he's that, and then whoever is there in Vegas, they decide to draft him number one, and Fernando Mendoza, who would go play for anybody. I mean, he would go play in...
He's so positive.
He doesn't care. Thank God for the opportunity that anybody even wants to have me. I'll put on that Jet uniform. I love green. It was my favorite color. Like, so he would go anywhere. So that's really what you need. And it's that type of personality that's like, I can do anything. I will go anywhere. I'll put my mind to it and it'll work out. I mean, that's what you really need. And that's why it's unfortunate that they didn't end up with the number one overall pick. I mean, if they had it, then we'd be like, this is great.
No, the Raiders actually screwed two teams in the AFC East.
Okay, they screwed the Jets.
The Jets, of course, because they ended up with the worst record. But by winning Week 1 against the Patriots, that gave the Broncos the number one seed. When they got down to, I want to say it was the fourth tiebreaker, and the Broncos swept the Raiders. And the Patriots lost to the Raiders in Week 1.
Interesting. So look at that. All the way back in Week 1. And they're looking for a head coach as well. I mean, that's going to be... I know Fernando Mendoza is not going to be, you know, someone who... He's going to be who he is for the rest of his life. But it is interesting that a guy like him would end up in Las Vegas of all places, you know? I mean, the Sin City, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
it is funny.
But maybe he is, you know, maybe he is the right guy with the right attitude and the right frame of mind to come and be the Jet savior.
But chances are you're not going to get him.
True.
I mean, that's the issue. And that's why I think you know, much like I was talking about, you know, rooting for a certain outcome that may end up changing the future, like I was saying with the Giants and maybe the Packers get blown out by the Bears and they move on from Matt LaFleur, and then Matt LaFleur says the Giants is a great job with Jackson Dart, and I'll go take that right away because you missed out on John Harbaugh. And same thing here, like maybe Fernando Mendoza looks like crap in this game and still is going to be a top pick, but Dante Moore goes off and then and in this game and then ends up beating Miami, and then the Raiders fall in love with him, and then you're like, okay, well, now we got our guy. But
also remember, you still have the combines, you still have
pro days and
pro days, and you also have the meetings.
But it's just like we're so close but so far away with New York football.
I think the meeting with Brian Daboll and the Giants is what sold them on Jackson Dart.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and that ended up being so far a great pick, but it's if you think about how close the Jets were, and we don't know if Fernando Mendoza is going to turn out to be great in the NFL, but still, Heisman Trophy Award winner with the best attitude to go anywhere, and a guy who's been the quarterback of the number one college football team all year long and could end up winning a national championship. The Jets need that guy, but they got the second overall pick, not the first overall pick.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
One briefcase. One moment. Could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
You know Graybar for electrical parts, but there's one more thing you may not be thinking of us for that can help maximize your next project's total value. Our pre-project planning services are designed to help you win the bid, save on labor costs, and keep your installers productive across your entire build. The sooner you call us, the better. Because when we're there from the beginning, we can anticipate your needs and help you solve problems before they become problems. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back. Show number two. It's the Card Show. Chris McMonagle, Big Mac, C-Mac, whatever you want to call him, doesn't matter to me. Craig Carton with you all the way to 7 o'clock tonight. Phone number to join, as always, 888-808-1019. I've come to a stark realization of my life there, Big Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, as a sports fan, I am not allowed to have good things. I'm not sure if it's because of the things I've done in my past or in a previous lifetime, but I have come to the ultimate conclusion that people like me, yeah. I don't mean handsome white guys either. I mean people that were born under the rock of Jet fandom
right. Are
simply not allowed to have good things. Case in point, we get the little end of year press conference and an opportunity to also maybe look forward a little bit with Darren Mooji, our general manager that we know very little about thus far, and of course Aaron Glenn. And I'm sitting there and I'm punching myself in the face.
You would have been
my huckleberry
on
that one.
Out.
And I'm listening to them. I'm going, they don't get it. They don't get it.
Mm-mm.
Today was not the day, especially for Aaron Glenn. I'm going to keep Mooji out of it, okay?
No.
I think Mooji's done a decent job. Obviously, the trades he made to get us more first-round draft picks, if they pan out, knock on wood, then Mooji's done a good job year one into being the general manager. But Aaron Glenn doesn't get it. And that's a problem for me as a Jet fan. This is the guy that told me as a Jet fan, if nothing else, no guarantees of my record or wins or losses, I'm going to put a team on the field that you Jet fans can be proud of. I'm still looking for a quarter of football.
You got to wait.
When I looked at my children's and I said, children's, daddy's proud of his football team.
Yeah.
No, nowhere to be found.
Never
no pride.
Happened.
No pride. No proud. And yeah, listen, I agree with you. I mean, and he was promised, like you mentioned, he promised us. Part of it was he knew the Jets.
Yes,
he knew
he
the
played
fan base.
Here.
He played here. He
right.
gets it. He gets the media. Well, he handled that about as poorly.
He hates the media.
Could.
The media hates him.
Yeah, pretty much.
He was kind of disrespectful to the fan base. We don't love him either. Mm-hmm. There's a good portion of us that think he should have been replaced. Some people say, "No, you give him a second year." Whatever, whatever. He's coming back. He's our head coach.
Yeah.
But the reality is that he's also, you could tell one thing about Aaron Glenn, and I learned this probably about 2 months ago, to be fair, and it was reiterated without saying the words at today's press conference. If and when, and again, this is like, you know, the belief in Santa Claus actually coming down your chimney right. and leaving you milk and cookies. He could leave me a filet next time, but you get the point, right? If you don't think that Aaron Glenn is going to be an arrogant, douchey, standoffish, bow out your chest and peacock around town, mm-hmm. if and when the Jets ever win, then you are not seeing what I see. That is a guy that is dying for a teeny little bit of success so he can tell all of us how great he is.
Yeah. Let's see the
right?
success. I think every Jet fan would sign for that. I don't care what kind of... You could be Bill Belichick on yeah. to Cincinnati. You can be the pump your chest out and be ornery with the media. You can be all of that if you win.
Bing.
If you win, you can't
if
go
0-7 right.
and handle that. And then, I mean, you're dancing around it. The comment we listened to and we watched that he made about expecting the idea that this organization and this coach...
This is going...
Could look the fan base in the face
yep.
and say, I expect you to be with me. We heard it from the Mets owner after a promising season and a run to the NLCS.
Yeah.
You didn't fill up the building. I expect you to be there.
And Mets fans did that.
And they reciprocated.
And what happened? They had the greatest attendance record
right.
of all time.
Yep.
And they didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
And now the owner of the Mets is calling you a bunch of idiots
yeah.
On social media.
And getting off
but
Instagram.
But you're right, Aaron Glenn, this was a great opportunity to be humble.
Humble.
To be vulnerable. To tell the fan base, I get it. It sucked.
Yeah.
And I don't deserve to come back. I'm grateful that I am coming back.
Yeah.
I think I'm the right guy to turn it around. You can say that stuff, but there was even an edge of cockiness today.
No doubt.
Like, I'm sorry. Yes, you were a very good football player.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't. I respect what you did as a player. I respect the fact that you're part of a coaching staff in Detroit that turned the lines around. You get credit for that. It's why you got hired
yep.
to be the head coach of the New York Jets. But, man, someone over there with the Jets, I know who to talk to. I'll pick up the phone later on my way home, and I'll help him out, a little media tutoring, okay? The reality is that this was a lost opportunity for Aaron Glenn to salvage, not that it would have been a lot, to
right.
be fair, because when you win three games,
yeah, no,
we're not happy, right? This would have been such a great moment to say, fans, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you. I'm embarrassed. I was humiliated. I never saw this coming.
Yeah.
All the stuff that we've all been saying.
Yep.
And yet, what did we get today? My expectation is that Jet fans buy season tickets and show up in droves and support. Yeah. Like, what?
No, I expect you to be there, and I know I'm going to be better.
That's I'm the guy.
I know. Listen, I could tell you, going through 1 year, I can point to a handful of things. Anyone can point to a handful of things
yeah.
that you are going to be better at because you cannot be worse. So he stood up there and said, I expect you to believe in me, and I know after this year there's a ton of things I can be better at, clearly because you're awful at everything.
Yep.
You know what scares me, honestly? Listening to him and listening to him in the press conference when he first got hired, watching the season, he is someone who has completely fooled the owner,
yeah,
fooled the rest of that organization.
Yeah.
With coach speak. Because he's the culture guy, he literally just speaks in platitudes. He speaks in these generalities. He speaks in these, I expect, listen, we're going to get better because we're going to be a tough football team. Oh, what do you expect in the defensive coordinator? Well, someone I can work with, someone going to be compatible
right.
with.
Like, he doesn't say anything.
He doesn't say a damn thing other than I know because I've been doing this for forever.
I know
we're going to be better.
I don't have a problem with confidence.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with a guy saying, look, this is what I've done in the past.
Right.
This year was a failure,
yep.
but I can point to my experience in Detroit. I can mm-hmm. point to my experience in other cities. I can point to my experience as a player right. on bad teams that then got good. I'm good with all that stuff. I really am. But this particular case, it's like the Grinch stole Christmas.
Yeah.
And again, I want to be fair to Aaron Glenn. I've never met Aaron Glenn. I'm sure we will at some point. We'll do our show from training camp, and it'll be a hootenanny. Oh, it's August. It's great. The Jets are perfect, right? And all that stuff. And fingers crossed we have a good – well, you do that in the cold anyway. Yeah. Fingers crossed we'll have a great draft and free agents, all that stuff, right? The reality, though, is it was a missed opportunity. And I want to be very fair to Aaron Glenn. There is nothing he could have said today that would have made me happy.
Yeah.
But
that is
there's
true,
a lot of things he could have said today that at least I would have said, okay, I got you. Mm-hmm. I feel you. I understand what you're saying, and I respect what you're saying.
Yeah.
I didn't get that today.
No.
I
think what he should have done, too, instead of saying the right thing, because I do agree with you, to be fair to him, I don't think there's anything he could have said.
No.
But you started the
outside
show.
Outside of, I'm stepping down as head coach.
Right, right.
Like, can we find a Bill Belichick cocktail napkin somewhere in the building and give Aaron Glenn a napkin and a pen? And say, just out of curiosity.
Right.
Do you want to be like Bill Belichick?
It was also an opportunity for him because you said we're going to put Muji aside. Now, whether or not Muji has done a great job, I think he had a good draft, and he was smart enough to say yes to two ridiculous trade offers. Let's be fair.
Yep.
Like,
it was like the Jamal Adams deal.
I can't knock him, but at the same time, they were obvious. He got two first-round picks for Sauce Gardner. Like, if you say no to that, you're an idiot.
Correct.
But he got the trades. Congratulations. But at the moment, to be sitting next to a general manager where I think most of the fan base is happy with. The draft went okay. The trades were excellent. There's some confidence built in that man right there. Let him lead the press conference.
Yeah.
Just sit there, say a couple of things. There were a couple of times where the question was asked to Muji, and he stepped in. He's like, let me answer that too. No.
Yeah.
Sit it out.
Right. Muji at least can point to some positive things he's done. And you're so right. Let him be the voice of the franchise.
Let him just speak. Everyone's okay with him. He's answering the questions. He's giving you names. He's giving you reasons to believe. He's giving you the players that they brought in, what he's thinking about with the future. Like, right now, you are toxic. You need to understand half the fan base, if not more, want you gone. Stop telling us there's reason to believe, and let the man who's actually running things right now speak, and don't answer questions that weren't asked to you either. Like, it's just, let it go.
I also have one other issue.
Okay.
It's more of a vocal crutch type of thing.
Yes.
But it's like nails on a chalkboard to me. And maybe only to me. I don't know. I'm different. I see the world obviously a little skew from most people, and I totally get that. So I'm just going to give it to you and just tell me, did you notice it? Did you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming a trend, actually. All right. So I think you might know where I'm going with this.
I think I do.
We'll find out. The Giants do it too.
Mm-hmm.
This is not just me picking on the Jets, okay? The Giants have done it as well.
Yeah.
There's a new way to answer questions, apparently, at NFL press conferences, okay? And the new way to answer a question when you don't have an answer ready and you're stalling for time as your brain tries to figure out what can I say that's not going to tick off fan bases or embarrass myself.
Right.
I'm going to give it to you right now.
Please do.
All right, hold on. I don't do a lot of impressions. This is my best one. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I understand the question. Is it because I said it in English that you understood it? I wasn't speaking Somalian.
I know.
I didn't ask you to invest in a daycare center in Queens, right? I spoke English. I said to you, why do you think the Jets will be better next year with the two of you coming back?
Yeah.
I understand the question. Well, yeah. I'm so glad you guys understand the question.
Right.
Can you answer it?
Understanding's half the battle.
And the only reason to do that is to delay in your answer.
No doubt.
It's a panic move of, well, that's a tough question. I don't have an answer right. Let me just put words out there so I can say something that I don't just look stupid.
It's the answer of a leader of a football team who's got three wins. Joe Shane had said it was identical.
He said it a lot.
He said it a lot in his bi-week press conference a few weeks ago, a month ago or so.
I understand the question.
And you know what it reminds me of? Like, you're 100% right. It reminds me of when I would have to answer essay questions in English for English class.
Yeah.
And you would take the first two sentences of the question and repeat them in your answer. Take up the space of the first half a paragraph.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, listen, I understand the question. I know why you're asking it. Yeah, we all know why. Yeah.
So the question was, why should I come back, period?
Yeah.
A couple spaces.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, it was. It was the French Revolution was an interesting time period for the entirety of Europe. Like, Yeah, and then I'd have to actually come up with something.
Well, look, we'll get all your calls. Obviously, you got some Giants stuff as well. Cliff Kingsbury's now officially available. But there's one other, just real quick thing. It's kind of sports. It's not sports at the same time. There is, I spoke about this morning on the podcast. There is a rumor. I want to be very clear about this, all right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a rumor. I suppose I'm being a rumor mongerer.
No.
I don't like to be that guy.
You know, like, that's not you.
But
there's many things said about you.
Thank you.
But that is not one.
I'm not a big rumor mongerer.
No.
I'm not. That being said, I'm fascinated by this one because, look, we're all NFL fans. As you may not know, I love America the Beautiful and the Star Spangled Banner, two of my five greatest songs of all time. And I'm always interested in who's going to sing them at the Super Bowl. And now that we're into January and the playoffs, I don't know if they've announced it. I didn't see an announcement as to who's doing the two songs, but there's a rumor out there. And I saw the rumor online today, and the rumor is that Stevie Wonder might be asked to do one of the two songs.
Fantastic.
I want to be very clear. I'm not reporting it. I'm not saying it's happening. I saw some random account on Instagram say how great it might be that Stevie Wonder does the anthem or you know, America the Beautiful.
I would love that.
So I decided to go into the internet hole for a second today. And there's a picture that comes up, a current picture of Stevie Wonder. And it's baffling to me. It is one of the most confusing pictures I've ever seen in my entire life.
Of Stevie Wonder.
Of Stevie Wonder.
Okay.
He's wearing a watch. Why? I don't understand it. All right, so now, I want to show, let that sink in, all right? Why would Stevie Wonder be wearing a watch? So, as you know, yesterday, our producer, nameless producer, until he earns the right to have his name mentioned on the show, kind of foobarred the opener of the show. It sucked for him. It's all good, though, right? So I sent him a text message before the show. He's like, hey, anything on your mind you want to talk about today?
And this was on the forefront of your mind. Yeah, of course.
So I said, matter of fact, there is. Why is Stevie Wonder wearing a watch? It makes no sense. This is what our producer wrote back to me. To tell time. thanks. I was unaware of what a watch is for. It doesn't answer the question, why would a blind guy be wearing a watch? And by the way, it wasn't like a Casio where you could push your button and it says, the time is 6:43 a.m.
It wasn't a Braille watch or...
I don't know if they make Braille watches or not. It was like a nice, like a Rolex or something.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he's wearing it. Unless
style.
You believe, as many people do, including Shaquille O'Neal and others, that it's all a ruse.
That he's been lying about being blind.
That Stevie Wonder is not blind and never was. Let that sink in. Because... to me,
how did we get here?
There is no other explanation for why a blind guy would be wearing a watch unless he's not blind. So we're going to keep an eye on it.
I'll think on it.
Follow this story very closely.
I will follow it very closely. I think the answer is probably just
style.
Yeah.
You think so?
Why would he wear colorful clothes? Why would he?
Does he know that he is? I don't know. Like, you think they tell him what's on? I don't know. I'm confused by the entire thing, but it's sports
and you're confusing
related.
The rest of it,
because he might be doing the anthem or America.
Well, he's
beautiful.
An incredible talent. So, I love Stevie Wonder.
Do you?
You don't?
Of course I do.
Well, everyone loves Stevie.
Like, have you ever met anyone that said overrated?
Take him or leave him.
That's a great Stevie Wonder. All right, let's get your calls going. We got Giant stuff coming up later on. We have a huge story from Met Country later today. It's got nothing to do with Mets baseball, but I think you'll like it. It's a little bit later on. And some Nick reaction to last night's embarrassing loss to the Detroit Pistons, the team I told you yesterday is the only team I'm scared of. But I ain't sweating it, dude. I am not sweating at all. We'll tell you why later on. Phone number is 888-808-1019. And here is Big Rich in Scranton. Richie, what's going on, kid?
Hey, great. Thank you for taking the call. It's great to hear you back on the radio.
Thank you.
Before I get the thing, I just want to say, the Jets, they should trade back for their pick. And get a quarterback in free agency because there's no way Dante Moore, he's a one-year wonder. We know he's not going to start next year, and the Jets aren't going to be any better with him.
Well, Rich, here's the thing, and I appreciate you calling and the nice words. I do very, very much. It's a weird thing to come at us with right out of the gate today.
Yeah.
Right? Like
sports?
Like
I know. So weird.
Like this is a reason. Like no offense, not everybody should call a radio show. Like the first call out of the gate is the Jets shouldn't draft a quarterback at two, and the guy that they're gonna draft is not gonna be very good. Like you've seen him play 30 games, right?
Come on. Overnight Chris can take this one if you want.
No.
You can roll this right over to Overnight Big Mac.
Great call for overnights.
Let's go.
Not a great call for 2:15 in the afternoon, which is why the producer does not have a name.
Strike two?
Yeah, that might be strike two. Here's Tommy in Cranford, New Jersey. Tommy, you're on the fan. How are you?
How you doing, guys?
Great.
Good. How are you, buddy?
You know, I'm doing good, thanks. Craigie, first of all, welcome back, number one. Number two, I was going to give your producer kudos today for getting on the air on time.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah.
But now I got to take it back because of the stupid answer he gave you about the watch.
Yeah, I agree. Another strike.
So, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, I know what I want to do.
remain nameless for the time being.
Yeah, he does not have a name. And there's a lot of guys that have already started prepping their resumes for Monday's show next week. But I appreciate it, Tom. Thank you very much.
Yeah, there definitely was a circle of people who rejoiced at 2:05. Yesterday.
There's blood in the water right now. I had guys I've never met saying, if you need a producer, you know, I'm free. But the guy that's currently doing it, nice guy.
Really?
Totally nice guy.
Great guy.
Let's take a quick break. We'll get your calls on the Jet press conference and the Jets overall. We got Giants coming up. We got some baseball later on. Tons of good stuff. And it's a weird thing going, just real quick, having done national shows, you know, for the last 3 years or so, and now coming back here, and obviously the main focus, as it should be, is New York, New York, New York, et cetera. I just wonder from you, just keep in the back of your head, we'll get to it later on. Okay. I'll give you a quick thing, and we can pass over it if you want. Do you have any interest in Thursday night or Friday night? Or are you completely focused on NFL playoff football, Nick basketball, and, you know, hot stove action? Like, is there any part of you that's like, I want to get into the semifinals or no? A little bit?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Not a lot?
Not a lot.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Okay. I'm just checking.
No, I mean, listen.
I haven't decided to bring it up yet or not, but
local.
Got it. Okay. Just asking.
That's me, though.
I'm just asking.
But we can bring
just
it
asking. We'll see how it plays out.
My brain.
Your call's coming up. Thank you for listening. My man right there is Big Mac. He's got some words for you.
We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One briefcase. One moment. Could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
Isn't there like a burger place or a place around here that has had the same vat of oil for like 100 years?
It's news to me.
Yeah, I think there's like a place that.
I wouldn't give out the name because a lot of people listen to this show and radio station.
Well, no, I think that's the selling point.
Yeah, but wouldn't the health department have something to say about that?
No, I think if you
you're
keep
using
it,
the same oil,
if you
for
keep it hot
years,
the whole time, like I think that's like the point.
I
of the
don't
restaurant.
Think that's how it works.
I'm okay, maybe.
Like
I'm
I
wrong.
Used to own a restaurant.
I thought I saw this on
and
like
we never turn the fryers off; they mm-hmm. always stay on.
Okay,
they may not be all the way up,
yeah,
but they're always being heated at some level.
I think I saw something on Food Network about a place that has had the
that
same
100-year-old
something
oil?
Like that. Yeah, something like that.
So here's the question.
Yeah.
If you went to a place, yeah. you're just getting a burger and fries.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, do you want the fries in the 100-year-old oil or fresh, clean oil?
Right.
Which way are you going?
If they make a selling point of the idea that it's this is why it's so flavorful, like cast iron pans, right? You don't clean it for decades.
Right.
They've been seasoned for forever.
Okay, so there's a place in Memphis, Tennessee, called Dyer's Burgers, D-Y-E-R.
Okay.
Dyer's Burgers is famous for deep frying burgers in a continuous seasoned cooking grease that dates back to the restaurant's opening in 1912.
There you go.
Good call, Paul.
Yeah, I saw it on Food Network once.
That's
you
would
go there and try that?
Oh, I think you have to try.
You have to.
I mean, anything fried's good.
Yeah,
fried burger. In I guess that's about 100 years.
More
1912 to now. How many years is that? 1912 to now 78 yeah, plus 25. 100. It's like 314 years.
Something like that. Yeah.
That's a lot of years of oil.
That's a lot of years of oil.
Yeah.
Now we got to get that flown in.
Here's
come on, get
Jennifer.
Working on it.
I'm on it. Yeah. Jennifer's in Beechwood. Jennifer, what's happening, Cookie?
Hey, Craig. I'm so happy to talk to you guys.
Hi, Jennifer.
Chris, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm just checking to see if you guys are going to do the pig spanking again because, you know,
yeah.
It was all about that with
so
you
it's,
guys.
It's interesting that what people that, man, I know you're referencing, every year for better than a decade, I would do a parking lot pig spanking. You were part of a couple of them.
Yes.
Before one Jet game, before one Giant game. And I'm proud to say we were 37-0.
Mm-hmm.
Never lost the football game when we did a pig spanking. It might be
so
the
true.
Only thing from past shows that Big Mac and I bring back.
Okay.
Because we need wins.
We're desperate
for wins.
I am not above slapping a pig for a win.
Right.
I am not above
so,
that.
Jen, if you agree to come out to it again, and obviously, you know, show us your boobs and all that stuff, and spank the pig with us, then you have my word, we'll bring the pig spanking back, okay?
I will 100% do that because it's the only time we get wins, and I need it. So, big Giants fan, season tickets. I need to have that pig spanking back.
We'll do it next September or October. No problem. We'll work it out with the Giants. And you got to wait about 9 months, but I got you covered, baby, okay?
All right. And, Craig, thank you so much. I watch your show at 11 o'clock as well. So
thank you very much. I appreciate you
and everything you do.
I appreciate you as well. That's more of a national show. It's a podcast, but I do appreciate the fact that you watch it. You know, this segment's sponsored by Dr. Jay Shah at Samuel Pain Management. Visit Samuel Pain. .com. Great to have them back with me and Chris here as well. Here's Bobby in Yonkers. Bobby, good afternoon. How are you?
Welcome, Craig. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you, Bob.
Welcome, Big Bill. I cannot see AG coming back from getting rid of Rodgers, Devontae Adams, and DJ Reed and saying he had no talent, right? And then hiring Steve Wilks, who was one and done in Arizona, saying that was his experience. I mean, they're not that
San Francisco
smart,
also.
Right? As the coordinator, but he's the head coach, one and done in Arizona. Yeah.
Yo, Bobby, I'm with you. Here's what's weird. Bobby. Let's just go through it real quick. I'm not upset. I wasn't upset when the Jets as an organization made a decision that we're not going to go to year three with Aaron Rodgers. I don't care for the way they did it because it was classless to do it if it happened the way that Aaron Rodgers described it happening. And nobody's ever pushed back on that story. So I'm assuming that's exactly how things went down when Aaron came from California and in 10 seconds was told, we're not bringing you back. My bigger issue is it's okay to have decided Aaron Rodgers wasn't right for us. I have no issue with that at all. It was a failure. Year one, not his fault because of the injuries under Robert Saleh. Year two, under that same regime, the whole thing went to poop, right? Mm. What I am upset about is the collective decision-making that if you're not going to bring Aaron Rodgers back, we had to do better than Justin Fields. 100%. That's my problem.
Yeah, listen, I think, but I had a problem with the Aaron Rodgers thing. I thought it would have helped. Right now, it would be someone to blame, right? Instead of the coach, you could say, listen, it didn't work with Aaron Rodgers. We tried. He was under contract. He still was willing to play. He was better than any other option they had out there. One of my bits maybe you would have been proud of if you listened. I spin the wheel of quarterback garbage every day during the Jet looking
for a quarterback.
Did you
have an actual wheel?
I had the wheel sound effect. I didn't actually have the wheel. Well, we played the wheel sound effect.
Not as good, but okay.
Anyway. I mean, Justin Fields stinks. I would have kept him. I would have kept Devontae Adams. I would have tried to win this year. They were desperate for some wins and have some credibility with the coach. Sure. Like if they got a couple of wins, you'd feel better about Aaron Glenn and moving forward now. Yes. And I know his contract, everything else, you could have figured it out, but I agree with you. But no question. Forget the Rodgers part. This is now a regime that's going to have to find a quarterback, plain and simple. Whether it is, like our first caller stumbled through.
Well, it's
got to
be the draft.
I think it's the draft, 100%.
You're picking second. You got to get a quarterback.
You got to get a quarterback.
And
right?
I don't want to hear that there's only two of them. I also don't want to hear that Dante Moore doesn't want to play for the Jets. Yeah. I think that's a nonsense story. Mm-hmm. I don't buy it. If you're going to be the second pick in the draft and be guaranteed, what, $40, $50 million, you're coming out and you're playing for the Jets with a smile on your face, right?
Absolutely. And who cares if he doesn't?
Yeah,
he'll
exactly.
come here and play.
You want to play professional football? We're drafting you.
Absolutely.
Right? So I'm with that. I hated that report anyway.
Yeah, but I don't trust him. I don't trust him to develop a quarterback. I don't trust him.
Okay, so let me ask you this. And I know you're speaking as a Giant fan, but you get it.
Yeah.
So the next, I suppose, biggest talent decision that the Jets have is Breece Hall.
Yeah.
Right? Now, if you're Breece Hall, I want to be very fair to Breece Hall. Mm-hmm. I don't want to come back.
Absolutely.
Because my career is not going to be 15 years long. I'm a running back. I've already had a major injury in my career, and I ran for 1,000 yards again with a bad football team, right? If I'm Breece Hall, you have to overpay me now for me to come back. And that would be a knock on Muji, where there was an opportunity this last trade deadline,
because
a lot of teams were looking for a running back, most notably the Kansas City Chiefs needed a running back. I'm not saying it would have changed the way things happened, but they needed a running back when they were still alive for a playoff push. And we didn't make a trade with them or anybody else. Meaning, Muji was willing to go to free agency and lose him for nothing.
Yeah.
If they do lose him for nothing, this could be a horrendous comparison. Beat me up later. How is that any better than the Giants losing Saquon for nothing?
Other than Saquon's a more talented back, that's it.
Right?
I don't disagree
and
with you.
We,
other than,
we destroyed the Giants
destroyed
for doing
them.
That.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
Rightfully so.
And then, pardon me, then...
But they didn't want to... Like, I think... Here's the difference, though. They didn't want to pay what market value was for Saquon Barkley.
Correct.
The Jets will do it. The Jets have enough cap space. The Jets will do it. The question will be, does he want to come back? Because I agree with you.
If I'm Breece Hall,
and if you've heard him speak,
I ain't coming back.
If you've heard him speak the entire year, he is fed up. I don't think
there's
any
be.
Chance. As you said, the running back, this is his last contract. Running backs don't get third contracts.
Yep.
It's the rarefied air of the Derrick Henrys and guys like that. You are not getting a third contract. This is the last opportunity he has to make a name for himself in his career. He's going to want to do something here. He doesn't want to stay with this lousy organization that has now traded away his buddies, like the whole bit. And they didn't want to trade him for one simple reason. What is the offense? Despite wanting to get value,
right?
They could not roll out there, and they might as well have, looking back on it with how the games went. They would not have had an offense. They knew the quarterbacks they were going to throw out.
Right.
They knew it.
Right.
And if they went out there and traded away the one running back, the one offensive talent after losing Garrett Wilson to injury, they would have had zero offense. And I think at some level they felt like they couldn't afford to trade away the one last bastion of talent in the entire organization.
And it's funny you mentioned Garrett Wilson. It's a crazy stat. I know every Jet fan has now seen it because it made the rounds, went viral somewhat on social media. Do you know that Garrett Wilson hasn't played since week 6?
Right.
And he still leads the Jets in receiving yards this year?
Crazy.
With 300 some odd yards? Let that sink in. They played 17 games.
Yeah.
He only played in 6 of them. And not a full 6, by the way.
Right.
And in the next 11 games, no receiver had over 300 yards receiving?
They had multiple.
So if you're Breece Hall, bring it back to him.
Yeah.
There are going to be a handful of teams. You're the best running back on the market.
Yeah.
Period. Stop.
Yeah.
There's going to be half a dozen teams that are going to look at him and go, you're our starting running back, and we're giving you the ball 18 to 23 times a game, guaranteed. And oh, by the way, we have a quarterback, we have an offensive line, and you're going to flourish here.
Yeah.
And bye-bye. And this is one of those times, don't get mad at Breece Hall when he does it.
Nope.
Don't get mad at Breece Hall when he doesn't return Muji's phone calls. Don't get mad at Breece Hall when Aaron Glenn begs him to come back and the Jets make him a good offer. Because I'm with you. I think they will make him a decent market share fair offer.
Right.
I ain't taking it.
Nope.
Because I want to get the same money or more for a better franchise that gives me a chance to win.
And
remember, these are all competitive dudes who get tired of losing.
Of course. It goes back to the opening of the show. How does Glenn or anyone with the Jets organization look at the fan base and say, I expect you to trust me, when we all know the team's running back will not?
Right.
Like, they're going to run from this team.
By the way,
they're going to run.
Fans don't trust them.
No.
Players don't trust them.
No.
Who does trust them?
I don't know.
Like, we should go on a tri-state audio search, Dr. Doofenshmirtz, and try to find a living human being.
Yeah.
That has some level of trust in the New York Jets.
You will not
some level of trust.
I can't imagine finding one that has trust that this organization is going to turn it around in the next year. They've got to hope the quarterback is right. That's it.
But I was thinking about this after our brilliant interview yesterday with James Dolan, who has not spoken publicly in 3 years prior to sitting down with me and you. When's the last time Woody Johnson did? Now, I think he does once a year with a hand-picked reporter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it was Connor Hughes or like an Ian Rappaport. I'm not sure who it was. I may have just made up a name there. But this, to me, when things aren't going well,
right,
and you make yourself available through the media to the fan base, I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fan base, well, it doesn't change how upset we are when we're not winning. I think the fan base respects the fact that an owner, GM, et cetera, coach, is willing to make themselves available when things suck. It's easy to be available and do appearances at local delis, you know, when things are going great. Like when you're Tommy DeVito and you can sell pasta sauce at Telercio's in Middletown
because
you won a couple games. Awesome.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
When you suck and you throw 5 interceptions, I'd like you to show up.
Yeah.
Like, well, when's the last time Woody Johnson spoke to the media?
He spoke to a media throng at the owner's meetings. I think they were 0-7 at the time.
Okay, so he did.
He did. He was at the owner meetings and he spoke. That's where he got those quotes that made the rounds about it's hard to win when your quarterback can't complete a pass.
He took a shot at Justin Fields,
and that became a thing. That's the last time he spoke. I don't think he sat down with the local New York media specifically.
So if I reached out to the Jets, and I'm blessed to have a very good relationship with them,
right,
and I said, 0 to 100. What are the odds that Woody Johnson would do what James Dolan did yesterday?
Yeah.
Came right in, sat down in between us. There were no rules to that interview. Ask me anything you want, and I'll do my best to answer them. 0 to 100.
Yeah.
If I ask the Jets of having Woody Johnson come in studio and sit to once and for all talk to Jet fans, what do you think the odds are?
There's no number lower than zero?
No, zero.
That's zero.
Zero's as low as we go.
He would, zero.
Zero. You don't even think it's like five?
Nope.
Zero. Like a non-starter.
No. Non-starter.
All right,
I can't imagine.
What if I did this? What if I extended the invitation to his son, who's making a lot of Jet decisions based on what he reads on Reddit?
Yeah.
Then do you think he'd come on?
Yeah, if you set
up. I just want Brock Johnson.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you set up like a Madden tournament in here, maybe he'd come in.
By the way, I think that's a little snide remark from you.
Was that snide?
That's a little snide remark.
Okay.
I think, and I'm alone on an island perhaps, or me and the Jets are, and Joe Shane now apparently.
Yeah.
I believe that you can learn a lot about football from Madden football.
I'm sure you could. I'm sure you could.
How else do you handicap players you never saw play before?
Yeah,
right. I go to Madden. Yeah. What's his Madden rating?
How you know the Jets roster.
By the way, that Madden rating thing is like the Coca-Cola recipe. It's like under lock and key. It's very secretive.
Right.
Like how they come about it, it's legit. Like they're rarely wrong.
Well,
rarely.
Well, I mean, it's subjective.
Not really.
No?
No?
How do you tell the difference between a 92 and a 94?
Well, or an 80, you don't. I'm a gamer. 80, so you don't play video games. I do.
No, I don't.
Right. I have play
a job
video
and young
games.
Children. I really. I have a tough time.
I have a job and older children. But I still play video games.
Okay.
I'm still the best Madden player in my house.
Okay.
And I got kids who should be better than me that is not.
No, my 8-year-old son kicks the crap out of me.
Does he?
Yes.
Yeah, my kids own me in Call of Duty.
Oh, yeah.
And now I had both cataracts done because, you know, I'm 38 now. Mm-hmm. And now I can finally compete at Call of Duty
because
I can see the television. But I went through a good 18-month period where, like, in the first 30 seconds, Johnny Bravo, Johnny Bravo, lost our wingman, Johnny Bravo, he's down, dad's down, dad's down. I'm like, I'm like 30 seconds in, I got Germans killing me. Yeah.
No, we play Madden for about 20 minutes, and I'm like, enough of this. Who's in for chess?
You own him in chess.
Because I own him in chess,
888-808-1019. More of your calls coming up, more in the chats. We'll get to the Giants coming up a little bit later this afternoon as well. Lots cooking here on WFAN.
So let us hear from Aaron Glenn and Darren Mugi. What we will do is we will hear the questions and answers, and then we'll pause it and give you our initial responses to each of the answers. If we find it boring, we'll skip around. So ladies and gentlemen, let's hear the first question for Aaron Glenn / Darren Mugi.
Darren, I think the question on every fan's mind, and it's probably the same question that's asked to every GM before you, is just how are you going to fix the quarterback situation?
Yeah, I understand the question. And that process starts yesterday and today and throughout the week, as we'll have a lot of discussions internally. And I can tell you this, we'll exhaust every option. You know, free agency, the league, obviously the draft. We will exhaust that and have a good solution for the New York Jets.
As far as...
Oh, he's going to exhaust every option. So it's not just the draft. It could be free agency. It could be the trade market. Good, because the quarterback position has sucked for a million years.
Quarterback, what was the thinking in signing Justin Fields, anointing him the starter, giving him 2 years, $40 million, when he had a 14-30 record as a starter entering the offseason?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I understand the question. We had a clear vision for Justin, a good plan. Now, obviously, the season didn't go as planned, and that's for many reasons. There's not one person, player, coach, system of why we ended up with three games, but that's part of this week's process, is of diving in and really reflecting on the season and the lessons learned moving forward.
Yeah, basically, I have no answer. It's not just him. He was a part of it, but a lot of things suck this season.
I'm going to give him slight credit here. He's already dismissing the idea that Justin Fields even on this team next
year. He's not on this team.
Right, but other guys and other GMs in this town would have not acknowledged the mistake right away and would have said, yeah, he's still a guy in the plans.
Yeah, that would have insulted our intelligence. So you're right. It's good that Darren Mugi's basically being honest about that.
Yeah.
What's your evaluation of the way the quarterbacks played this year?
Yeah, we're going through that process this week as the whole roster. We're going to evaluate every position on the team. And obviously, we got to be better. We got to be better at several spots, quarterback included.
That's one thing that we'll actually start going tomorrow. And I know the question that you were about to ask. Justin's on the contract. Brady's on the contract. But when it comes to quarterback, we're going to always have the best guy. And that's always been the plan from the beginning. The guy that gives us the best chance to win. But to answer your question, he's on the contract.
Is that the answer that you didn't want?
Exactly. He jumped in to interrupt Mugi to give the answer you hated. Aaron, just let your GM speak. He had it handled.
You don't have to give us the he's under contract card. Like, we know he's under contract. And by the way, you're not fooling any general manager out there by tipping your hand that he's not going to be on the team next year.
You obviously need to hire a defensive coordinator.
Yep.
What are you looking for in that job, and are you prioritizing guys' play calling experience? Like, what's kind of your approach?
to give you an overall just perspective on what the plan is, and Moose just talked about yesterday was all about the players and talking to the players. Tomorrow, be talking to the staff as far as the players are concerned. And at that point, man, that's when I really started to dig into the evaluation of the whole roster, the whole coaching staff, and really start to figure out, like, how can I get better also? And I actually start with that, my own self-reflection. And then when it comes to the coaches, man, I like to be aggressive. I want to make sure that well, the guy that we do have in, that there's a lot of synergy between me and that coach. And I'm not saying that it wasn't synergy between me and Wilkes. It's just I want to make sure as I go through this process that that's not a step that that I don't miss. And it'll be a number of coaches that we take a look at. And Muji will be a huge part of that because I do respect his opinion, and he has a good eye just for talent in general. And I want to make sure this collaborative between all of us, and we just want to get the best guy.
Aaron, when you say
yeah, it's important they get a good defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you a name right now, and I could sell you on how they can get him, is Brian Flores. And the way you can get him is A, he's a free agent, and B, if you're Brian Flores, who is from this town, who is a New Yorker, he also could say, boy, I come in here and I kill it. I'll just take over the job if Aaron Glenn fails. I'll turn this into my head coaching job. Yeah. So I think it's a chance for Brian Flores. I know there were rumors about Vegas, and he may get head coaching opportunities. Obviously, if he gets a head coaching opportunity, this wouldn't happen. But I think, would he spend the money? Bring in the best defensive coordinator available in Brian Flores. That'll change our view on this team.
I'd never leave a competitive team for the Jets from Brian Flores for a DC.
A lot of money, potential to be the next head coach.
Maybe the potential to be the head coach if you still stay with the Vikings.
What was that?
You could be the next head coach of the Jets with another year with the Vikings.
Your potential is greater with the Jets. Think about the year that Aaron Glenn just had.
Yeah, so if you're on
his potential is better with the Jets than any other team. Am I wrong?
I just think if you're the defensive coordinator of the Jets, the last thing the Jets should be doing if Aaron Glenn gets fired is just promoting from within.
I'm not saying that to ultimately what they would do.
Okay.
But I'm saying, why would Brian Flores be sold by New York? I'm giving you a couple of reasons.
Wink Martindale.
Wink Martindale. I wouldn't hate that. Did a pretty good job. All right, let's hear more.
Synergy, do you mean in terms of how you guys mesh personally or in schematics?
I think that's it. Yeah, that has a lot to do with it. Personally, as far as fit, as far as how I see defense being played, all those things are huge because, and I've said this before, compatibility is just as important as coachability, you know, so I want to make sure that we see things the same way, and I want to make sure that we can vibe as far as sitting down talking about how we see football also.
Put that on a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Aaron Glenn would consider himself to call plays on defense. Let's hear more.
Quick follow on that is that when you hired Steve, he was someone who's done it before. He's a defense coordinator.
Yep.
How do you balance first-time guy who maybe you have experience with or you believe can do it compared to somebody who has done it before?
Man, that's a really good question, and that's what I'm actually really evaluating as I go through that, is making sure that I'm really thorough on whoever that guy is an experienced guy that's done it before, or is it a guy that hasn't, and do I trust the fact that he can do it? And to me, that's something that I just don't sit up here and say that right now, that I go through the whole process and make sure that the answers that I'm really getting from that whole evaluation will be good enough answers to where I can pick this guy and say, okay, he's going to be the guy that can do it, if that makes sense.
You know what makes sense? Aaron Glenn completely hijacked the press conference. Like, it was all for Darren Muji. I was kind of into it.
And he was starting to cook a little bit.
He was cooking. And then Aaron Glenn butted in about Justin Fields. And then everyone's like, oh, we'll talk to Aaron Glenn. We hear from Aaron Glenn every freaking week of the season. I'm done hearing from Aaron Glenn. I want to hear from Muji, or as Joe calls him, Muji. Anyhow.
I feel bad for Muji.
Let's do the next questions for it. Better be Muji.
How long do you think it will take to be competitive, to be respectable?
Good question, Bruce.
I believe we can be competitive and respectable right away next year.
Damn right.
Okay, hold on.
How is the follow-up? That's a great answer. Darren Muji just told us we can be competitive and good next year. That's it. And then he moved on. How? Can you walk me through it, Darren? That better be the follow-up question.
What gives you that confidence? You said earlier you're the most confident. You know, you have more confidence now than ever. What gives you the confidence?
Because I've been here a year. I've learned a lot. We've learned a lot. I've got a clear vision. AG and I, like we said, we talk daily on this roster and the vision and this division. And with the assets we have moving forward, the draft capital, the cap space, I know we're going to continue to build and add good players to the team that are going to help us win.
Yeah. All right. Look, confidence from Darren Muji.
Need a quarterback first.
Of course. Well, they need a lot, Sean.
Yeah, I understand that.
It is a bold statement, though, coming off of the year you came off of and also having traded Quinnen and Sauce and having a defense that was unrecognizable by the end of the year. It's kind of bold to say, yeah, we can be good next year.
Also set yourself up to fail, though.
Well, it sets us up to replay this clip come December and say what happened.
Of course.
Yeah.
Let me answer that also.
Oh, jeez.
he sucks.
as a rookie head coach and same thing as a GM, man, going through the first year and really understanding the landscape of everything, like that's a huge deal. You know, I will tell you that right now. And speaking of myself, man, there's a number of things I know that I'll be better at. And again, I'm still doing self-reflection, but I know for a fact there are a number of things. And the confidence that I have in Mooj, the confidence I have in our owner, the confidence I have in myself, the confidence I have in some of the foundational players that we have, that's where the confidence really comes from, you know, if that makes sense. And there's a clear vision, there's a clear plan on how we want to go about doing things. And you match that with Mooj, with our owner, the confidence I have in myself, with some of the foundational players that we have, that in itself, to me, gives like all the confidence in the world, man, that we're going to go in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Now, there's some things we got to fix. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah.
And we'll fix those. We'll attack those the way we have to. But overall, man, I have all the confidence in the world that we're going to do the things we have to do to be successful.
I mean, gee, the question was Moohy speaking. He just jumped in and like, I got more to say about how much better we're going to be.
And the problem with what he's saying is he doesn't actually say anything.
No.
Aaron Glenn is like if a cameo video became a head coach. He just says like a lot of motivational stuff, but nothing actually of substance.
It's a good one.
It's true.
It's a good one.
And Kevin, given your defensive background,
yep,
and given the way your quarterbacks perform this year, why should people feel confident that you have the infrastructure in place to pick a quarterback and develop him?
Yes, meaning.
You know what? That's a good question.
Damn right.
And we're going to exhaust everything that we can to make sure that we surround our quarterbacks now, and if we get any quarterbacks in the future, right, with the guys that's going to help them. And then again, that's a whole part of, man, making sure that we evaluate everything that's going on, make sure we have the right people here that can help the quarterback. And I'm not saying that we don't have that. You know, that's something that we have to continue to look at. So that's not a question I can sit here and say, listen, we have that. Listen, we're going to evaluate everything, and we're going to exhaust everything to make sure that we surround every one of our guys with the right staff, with the right strength and conditioning, with the right medical, to make sure those guys are successful.
It's a part of why I've moved more into the area of go trade for a good veteran quarterback, because I do not trust Aaron Glenn in this administration to develop a young one.
When you watched the season unfold, what do you think went wrong? Why do you think you guys...
Like I said earlier, there's not one player, person, side of the ball that's to blame. It's an accumulation of several things. And we're in the process of really having deeper conversations so we get the right answers to that question.
Darren Mooj, you know what I'm also noticing about this? This is a fun exercise. Aaron Glenn says a lot of stuff. Darren Mooj doesn't. Like, he just gets to the point and we move on.
Yeah.
Aaron Glenn goes in, and I think you did a really good job of explaining the whole cameo thing. Like, he goes on with inspirational stuff, and Darren's just like, let me get to the point and move on.
Right, that's it. This is what it's not a matter of whether you want to hear. He just tells it like it is, and that's it.
Yeah.
Aaron Glenn fluffs up everything.
You're right.
Stretch that. And I know a lot can change with evaluations and stuff between now and the NFL draft, mm-hmm. but it was looking like for a while, if you guys were picking 4, 5, 6, if you wanted to get up there to draft mm-hmm. a quarterback that might go 1 or 2, you're going to have to move a ton of assets mm-hmm. to go and do it. I guess the one benefit of the way that this thing kind of bottomed out is that you guys don't have to do that. Like, you're going to be sitting there at number 2.
Mm-hmm.
How much of a luxury is that these assets that you worked so hard to accumulate this year, you can theoretically now use them all for yourselves, not trade them to go up?
Yeah, no, it's nice to know we'll be picking at 2. But before we get to the draft in 7 months, I mean, there's a lot of internal, you know, discussions and studies, and obviously our roster first and then free agency, then evaluating the draft in depth to know what we'll do with that pick and those assets, but there's no doubt it feels good just to know where you're at it too.
I don't think it matters in terms of getting to 1. Now, I think it matters in terms of trading up in the first round, whether it's for a third number 1 or higher than where they are at 16, but it feels like they're stuck at 2. Like, it doesn't really feel like there's a realistic avenue
right.
where the Raiders would go back to 2, unless after evaluations, the Raiders prefer Dante Moore, and they're almost like, you know what, let's try to fleece the Jets for an extra pick and we'll mm-hmm. get the guy we want anyway.
Possible.
Kind of like what the Celtics did with the Sixers and Jason Tatum and Markelle Fultz, but I don't know how realistic that is.
In addition to the draft capital that you acquired, can you talk about some of the players in season that you got, like Harrison Phillips, Juwan Briggs, Brownlee on the defensive side of the ball, and then
Mechie and Mitchell.
Yeah, absolutely. Excited about those players that you just mentioned and that we were able to get those guys. Every one of those additions has its own story and how they got here. Briggsy in particular is a good one. I know in training camp, we're exhausting the league, right, for any players at any position that we can add, specifically D-tackle here when we're talking about Briggs. We just added Harrison, but we're looking for some young guys as well. One of our young scouts, Thomas Whitty, identified Briggsy, brought him to our attention. We watched a ton of DTs. I know specifically Briggs, we watched him play last year at the end of the season. There was a game against Miami and Baltimore. He played well. And another one of our scouts identified him as a criteria player, Donovan Doyle, actually. So he hit a few benchmarks for us. And, you know, lucky enough for us, Cleveland had some good depth, so we were able to acquire Briggs. And I think he's been positive for us. And he's got some development growth still to come, but he's been a positive spot. One of the guys we're glad to add.
Definitely one of the positives of Darren Mooji, bringing in some of these guys to help with this roster. We'll hear more from Darren Mooji and Aaron Glenn coming up. We'll mix in some of your phone calls. It is Evan and Tiki with Sean Morash here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know Graybar for electrical parts, but there's one more thing you may not be thinking of us for that can help maximize your next project's total value. Our pre-project planning services are designed to help you win the bid, save on labor costs, and keep your installers productive across your entire build. The sooner you call us, the better. Because when we're there from the beginning, we can anticipate your needs and help you solve problems before they become problems. Yep, Graybar does that.